Ksuvos, Perek Dalet, Mishnah Vav, 4-6. And now the Mishnah goes on to talk about various Tanai Ksuba, that is to say, conditions that are embedded into the Ksuba, the marriage agreement, which exist by force of Tanai Bezdin, the conditions that were set forth and established by the Sanhedrin. And they are binding sort of regardless of what the Ksuba says or doesn't say, or if there's no Ksuba at all. So the first topic here is the topic regarding the providing of mizonos, food, for one's children. Now, really, midoraisa, the fact that a child is your child doesn't automatically bind you legally to have to feed them. Like, that's not an obligation that kicks in just because they happen to be your child. However, rabbinically, certainly, a person is obligated to provide food for his children. In the time of, and that's codified, that if a person fails to provide food, the Bezdin actually will essentially force him to provide for his children. But that only extends till the age of 6 years old. The assumption seems to be that in the time of the Mishnah, after six years old, a child could, at least in theory, survive on their own. Now, after 6 years old, there still is a rabbinic requirement to provide for one's children, but there's a difference. For the first 6 years, it's sort of an absolute rabbinic obligation, and if a person would refuse, the Bezdin essentially would, twist his arm until he provided for them. After 6 years old, so again, while a person's obligated to provide for his children when they're still young and unmarried, etc., that obligation is not as firm. It's not built as Tanai Bezdin. It's a rabbinic requirements to the extent that he can afford to do so. So if a father is failing to provide for his children, then the Bezdin, while they wouldn't force him by twisting his arm quite literally, they would use other kinds of social pressure, we'll call it, to shame him, essentially, if he doesn't do it. Even the birds provide for their kids, this guy's worse than a bird, etc. Now, that's true, assuming that the father, both those things, everything I said so far is true, if the father can't really afford to provide for his children. If he could afford it, and he's not doing it anyway, so then even if the child is over the six, certainly the Bezdin would force him, because that just falls under the general category of tzedaka. A person has an obligation to take care of the needy people around him, and certainly his own members of his household come first. And if he has the wherewithal to provide for them, and he doesn't, so then, even older than six, the Bezdin will certainly force him to take care of them. All that said, the question of our mission here wants to talk about specific Tanai Ksuba, conditions that are embedded in the Ksuba regarding one's sons and daughters that he has with a woman. These are two separate clauses, if you will, in the Mishnah, and in the Ksuba, I should say. And those are called, the clause regarding the sons is called Benin Dichrin, which means male children, if you will. And the clause regarding the daughters is called Benan Nukvan, which means the female children. The basic gist of the Benin Dichrin clause is that if a man has two wives, and let's say his first wife predeceases him, so she dies, so everything that was promised her in the Ksuba now comes to him, or doesn't get paid out to her, including things she brought into the family. So let's say, for example, she had a family estate that she inherited from her grandfather, and now she dies, that does go to her husband. But when the husband dies, the Benin Dichrin clause, the boy offspring clause, says that the sole heirs of that asset, which she brought into the marriage, or those things that she was promised in her ksuba, those things go to her children and not to her stepchildren, the children of the other wife. Okay, so the family estate will pass exclusively to her own children, not be shared amongst all this husband's heirs. There's also a separate clause, that's the Benan Nukvan, the female offspring clause, and that says that after, as we'll see in the Mishnah, after he dies, so then while the sons may be the heirs to his estate, the estate must first provide for the daughters, his daughters, or her daughters, the wife's daughters, all the wife's daughters. So that being the case, they have first claim, and they're taken care of from the estate before the boys have anything. So that's called the Benan Nukvan. Now, the main point of our Mishnah is that the obligation of Benan Nukvan, the estate to be providing for the daughters, actually kicks in only after the husband is dead. While he's alive, he has the obligations to his children, as I described before, which after 6 years old is not so absolute like I described before. So that being the case, the Mishnah says, and this is now we're in Ksubas 4:6, Ha'av eno chay b'mezonos bito. A father isn't strictly obligated to provide for the food for his daughter or his son. They're on equal footing. Again, and again, like I repeated myself now, up to 6 year old, he actually is required to. They'll Bez won't force him. After six, if he can't afford it, then they only will pressure him. If he can't afford it, they actually would still force him to pay for the children. But the obligation, the absolute obligation to provide for the children, daughters included, is not, after 6 years old, is not there. Now, what's the basis to confirm that? Well, so to understand that, the clause that supports the daughters, the Benan Nukvan clause in the Ksuba, reads, Benan Nukvan, this is Aramaic, so I'll translate piece by piece. Benan Nukvan, the female offspring, de havin lechi minai, that you, the wife, have from me, yiyun yitzvan bebesi, they'll be authorized to be allowed to dwell in my house, u miszanan minichsi, and will be supported from my assets, ad the nisvan leguvern, until they get married to other men. Now, it's not explicit if this is referring to after he's dead or while he's alive. The other clause regarding the sons, the benin dichren clause, so that is more explicit, referring to something that kicks in after the father's death. It says, benin dichren, as for the male offspring, the havi lechi minai, that you have from me, again, he's writing it to this woman, his wife, inun yartun, they will inherit, yartun like your shin, they inherit, kesef ksubasech, the money promised in your ksuba, yeser al chulkein de'im acheon, more in a separate from, in addition to, what they'll inherit with their other brothers, meaning that these boys, her sons, inherit everything from her ksuba. That's explicit. It's a Yerusha. It's a happening that occurs after the father dies. And that being the case, the Mishnah uses an expression of darash, as if it's a drasha from a pasuk. Of course, these are words written in a ksuba, so it's not really a drasha in truth. But the presumption is the same way that the rabbis are writing, and the rabbis know how rabbis write. They know how rabbinic interpretation goes. So an inference can be drawn from the way it was written, the same way they would infer it from other, you know, from a Torah text. And that being the case, and we'll have like a drasha, which essentially will say, because these clothes are put side by side, just as the son's benefits kick in only upon the death of the father, so too the daughter's benefits only kick in upon the death of the father. Now that, says the Mishnah, Ze Midrash Darash Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Lifnei Chacham Bekerem B'Yavna. This point, that the girl's right to demand support only kicks in once the father's dead, is based on like a quote-unquote a drasha that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah made. Elazar ben Azariah, you recall, was the young man who had the miracle. His hair went white, his beard went white, and he took over from Rabban Gamliel as the Nasi for a time in the early days of the new Sanhedrin, which convened in Yavne, outside of Yerushalayim, right after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. So he's the one who's making this drasha, and he made the drasha before the Chachamim Bakerem B'Yavne, in the literally the vineyard in Yavne. This is referring to the yeshiva, the town of Yavne, which was saved by Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in a special request to Vespasian, and they convened outdoors, and they sat in rows, and the Rabbanan sitting in rows outdoors looked like they were kind of like, you know, planted grapevines. So therefore, the place in which they met outdoors, the Sanhedrin, essentially, was referred to as the Kerem, like a vineyard in Yavne. His drasha was Habanim Yershu Vahabnos Yizonu. There's a commitment to have the sons inherit and the daughters to be provided food for. Mahabanim Einan Yorshin El Laachar Mitzas Av. Just as the sons don't get their inheritance until, and that obligation only kicks in after the father dies. Afa banos, same too for the banos, the daughters, en nizonos el achar misa savian, the obligation, the strict obligation to provide food for the daughters only kicks in after the father dies.